And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. About this time of the year, we forget the rest of the story. I'm reminded of a lady who was Christmas shopping with her two children. And she was in the shopping mall, and she had gone into many stores and gone up and down the aisle, up and down the aisle. Rows and rows of toys and everything else imaginable. And she was really tired after hours of hearing her children said, "I want that, I want that, I want that, I want that." And so she had just about had it. She was feeling what so many of us sometimes feel during the holiday season, this time of the year, this overwhelming pressure to get everything done. Get all the decoration done, get the presents bought, get the food bought, get it prepared, yada, yada, and so forth. Finally, she grabbed her two children and headed toward the elevator with her armload of packages. She got to the elevator and pushed the button. And sure enough, when the doors opened, it was crowded. So she pushed her way in with her packages and her two children. And when the doors closed, she couldn't take it anymore. She said, "Whoever started this Christmas thing should be found and strung up and shot." And from the back of the elevator came a quiet little voice that said, "Don't worry, dear, we've already crucified him." No one said anything all the way down to the bottom floor. We forget the rest of the story. And is it true? We ask ourselves. The lessons for this Christmas day approaches the question from several directions. Luke tells us a story that we've heard year after year after year about the young girl giving birth to a baby in a cave, and the shepherds come and the animals are there, and we don't know if Joseph could find a midwife or what happened and all that sort of thing. Bethlehem was full of visitors. They decided to take a census. And in this case, people were not counted where they lived. They were counted where they were born, where they descended from. And so they had to make journey to that city. And beneath the story runs a tale of oppression, you see. Of people at the mercy of a tyrant. Of people being enslaved and put down. And we dress it up with tinsel and poinsettias and shining stars and angels. But it was still a story of oppression and a story of vulnerability, injustice with a little mercy. And is it true? Well, it's certainly familiar enough, isn't it? It rings true. Perhaps today, telling it again may inspire us to show a little mercy and act more kindly in our own lives, but the truth of the story lies deeper, you see. It isn't just a morality play or a docudrama. So another choice for looking at the gospel takes us deeper and deeper. That's when things get complicated. That's when we get into theology. That's one of those words that's a little off-putting sometimes. Because you see, we're all theologians of sorts, each one of us. We all have our knowledge, our vision of what God must be like. But the simple fact is that God came as a baby on this earth. Baby born among farm animals is the God that we hear about in St. John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the, and so forth. That's theology. And the simple fact is that God chose to come in the form of a child, a baby, helpless. Now, that doesn't quite fit with our image of God. We want a God that's strong but kind to us. We like a God that's going to get those who are our enemies but be gentle with us. And yet Christmas reveals a vulnerable God, a helpless God, a baby that needs parents and friends and help and all those things. It's an extraordinary idea. Extraordinary that God should choose to do such a thing. He calls us to love him, and all he can do is gurgle and laugh and spit up and maybe cry in the night. Certainly, any of you who have had children will know how wonderful it is to love and be loved by a baby. Everybody loves a baby, except older people like me who don't want any babies. We're called to give our hearts to this God. This God in child form receiving nothing more or less than love's reward, you see. And for it's a love that's giving. It's a love that is surrendering, is doing, is merging with our lives. It breaks down our walls of separation, our pride, and our bitterness. So Christmas teaches us that before we receive from God, we must first give ourselves to God unconditionally. As Mary did, let it be with me according to your word. Whatever it is, God. And is it true? I think so. John Betjeman, an English poet, wrote a poem called Christmas, and here's the last verse of the poem. I close with this. And is it true, he says, for if it is, no loving fingers tying strings around those tissued fripperies, the sweet and silly Christmas things, bath salts and inexpensive scent and hideous ties so kindly meant. No love in a family dwells, no caroling in frosty air, nor all the steeple shaking bells can with this single truth compare, that God was man in Palestine and comes to us today in bread and wine. I think it is true, beloved. It's true that his presence is with us here today as we celebrate Holy Eucharist, is here with us today in bread and wine. Amen.